Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we are going to be talking about a book. Being an author, being a writer, how do you get your story out there? Many people now are saying, I really had a lot of struggles in my life. I overcame this illness or this sickness or this disease or this cancer, and I'd love to write a book about it. Or we have healers, wellness people, spirituality writers, and they say, I really want to get my information out there, and I'm not quite sure how to do that. Today we have the expert with us. Her name is Shonda Troff. Her book, which just released, is called Authorpreneur, How to Build an Empire and Become the Authority in Your Business. And it's really important because when you say, I'm going to write something down, put it out as a book, and you put it on the internet, we know where the internet is. It's never, never land. You really have to create a product around it. You have to put things out in social media. You have to have all of the appropriate steps so that your book can get out there and how your message will still go further. Shonda, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Shonda, don't you think so many people, they say, I put my things out there and it went poop, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's really why I wrote the book, because I've been working with authors and writers for some time now. And for the longest time, I was just working with them through the book writing process, coaching them through getting their message from within and getting it out there. But then what I noticed is, a lot of them would clam up when it would come time to talk about building the author platform and launching the book and promotion. So just in listening to what my clients and students needed, that's what prompted me to write this book.
You know, I think sometimes we think we have all the pieces in line, but gosh, the internet is going so fast. I even know for myself, I wrote my pages that I, quote, manage. I've got like 4 websites, 4 Facebooks, 3 Twitters, you know, 3 radio shows. And I go, oh, my gosh, I've got so much stuff. And we think about it. Each thing has its different message and how it plays together in the web of what I call, you know, the web of your message. And that's really what you're talking about in the book, is about creating that web around your message. Because if you don't have those things in place, people may not find you, or it just sort of like falls short, because they're necessary.
Exactly. And in this day and age, it is just it's imperative. You actually have to get out there on social media and create a list of, you know, your tribe, that devoted audience that's going to be ready for your message when your book is published. So that's a huge part of writing the book. The whole book writing process is hard enough in itself, and then you have to add in building your author platform to it as well. So it is a process, but I try to break it down as easily as possible and into bite-sized pieces so that it makes it a little bit easier for those that aren't comfortable with the whole promotional side of being an author.
Let's talk for a minute about writing a book. I know myself, I have struggled with this thing for decades. And I've said before, you know, and gosh, just somebody said it to me this past weekend again, where's your book? And it's like, oh, man, you know, it's sort of like that little thing that turns in and you say, I just can't put it down. I don't know. Now, there are many people that will say, I've written my book first, and then I need to create my web and network. There's other people who already have the web and the network and a lot of words out there, and they need to take that and create the book. So there are two different ways to approach this, right?
There are, but people usually ask me, when is the best time to start building my author platform? And I tell them, the moment you decide to write a book, because often the hardest part is building that connection, building the trust with your audience, your target audience, and your tribe. Oftentimes, that takes longer than it takes to write the book in itself. So the second somebody decides that they have a book in them and they want to write a book, I say that's a great time to start. You know, you don't even have to go big. You can just start small and take baby steps, but create that page, that social media page that's going to connect you to your target audience and clearly define who your target audience is so that you're not spread out all over the place, but you can really hone in on that audience.
Yeah, because sometimes you get so big and so scattered when the message isn't there, you lose people because they just don't even know where you're going next, right?
Exactly. And that's all part two of the book writing process. Not just writing the book, but deciding who that targeted audience is that could benefit from your book and really writing the book as if you're speaking to that person.
You know, we've had a lot of people who have contacted me over the years and they've said, you know, I had this real struggle with cancer, or I've had this disease and I've really cured it naturally, or I've really found this great doctor and this great medicine and I'm doing so much better now. Or people will say that I've struggled against maybe suicide or struggled with maybe domestic abuse, and how can I get my message out there? And a lot of people say, you know, well, just start writing it down. And I think the writing it down is where 99.9% struggle right there, because what person do you write it in? How do you write it? Are you really truthful? And then you find yourself mentally editing the book as you go along because you're leaving out that part that actually is the core essence of it, of your heart and soul, why you got there in the first place. You leave it out because you have fear, or you don't want to tell the truth, or you feel that it might be too much, or you feel that people wouldn't understand you and you want to protect yourself. So that's a huge pitfall, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Just in working with aspiring writers and authors, one of the things that I notice most is they'll have that important message that they want to share, but the fear and the self-doubt hinders them, right. And that's really what it seems like stops people from finishing the book or putting the book out there. They think, what will my family think if I tell this story?
Right.
Who am I to tell this story? Who do I think I am to write a book? And those thoughts are so common. And I tell writers this all the time. I say, you know, you're not alone, because I hear this from almost every single person I work with. We all have those doubts and those fears as writers. I have them myself. But it's when you can really, and that's why I do a lot of work with my authors and my writers through my book writing course, about silencing that ego and just writing the first draft for yourself, just getting the stories down and getting them out and not listening to that voice in your head that says, you know, should you really be writing that? Should you tell that part of the story? Because if you can just write the first draft for yourself and get it all out on paper, then once that first draft is finished, then you can go back and decide, yeah, maybe I should leave that out, or maybe I should add to that. But if you write it for you and you don't worry so much about what other people are going to think or who's going to read it, write it as if, I always say, write it as if you're writing in your journal. Write it as if nobody else is ever going to read it except you, because the first draft really is for you. And so oftentimes that, just looking at it like that, can make it easier to get that first draft written.
You know, it's the funniest thing. I know for myself, just even one or two pages that I wanted to write, and I would find myself mentally editing. And what I said is, finally I came to the conclusion, I said, you know what, this is going to have an alias on it anyway, I'm not going to put my name to it, so I'm going to just wing it and let it all go. And I found myself able to write all, as we call, the darkness, because the darkness is sometimes where you've actually gotten, and that is the core of your story, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that really, sharing that part is so important, because that's what connects you to the reader. When you can be vulnerable and open and honest, that's what's really going to connect the author to the reader, and that establishes that trust, and that's what makes your message, you know, really touch somebody. But that's another great point that you made, you know, for those who are afraid to tell their story or afraid what people will think or are held back by fear, set out to write under a pen name or a pseudonym. It's so easy to do, and then it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off you because, you know, your name's not on it, but you're still sharing your message with the intention of healing or helping somebody who can benefit from what you have to offer.
Yeah, and it really does take the pressure off, because a lot of times these very dark stories is something that happened to you and it was in the experience of another person. You know, sometimes people will say, well, I don't want to write about, you know, that doctor. He was this, and this, and I'll never go to him, blah, blah, blah. And I say, just write it out as it happened, and you can always, you know, almost you can go into a program on your computer that says wherever you see this word, misspell it or something, and wherever you see this word, change all, you know, and wherever that doctor's name is, it can just change all that name to another name. So you can always be able to, you know, have that change, but the story is still intact. I think sometimes, too, when we get into editing, we find ourselves I know for myself, I've had this problem. I can't edit. I can't even look at it to be able to see it after it's edited. And I have my son does a lot of my editing. He says, Ma, you know what? He says, I'm fixing the grammar, but everything else has got to go because it's your story, you know? And because sometimes when you get an editor, they're in there, well, that really can't happen, or that can't show up. Or, ooh, that's a little bit too touchy or whatever. And you find your story really not even what it was in the beginning. I'm sure you've found that with a lot of people writing.
Yes, I'm very fortunate because I work very closely with an editor who I've worked with since 2012. And she works really well with keeping the author's voice and staying true to the author's voice and not trying to take away from their message or their story. So I highly recommend her to many of my students and clients. But there is a self-editing process that we have to go through, I think, before we can even get to that point where we send it off to a professional editor, because we don't want the editor to be writing our book for us. So I always tell my clients and students, you really, you know, should take a few steps to self-edit your work and get it the best that it can be in your eyes. And then find somebody that you work well with, that you trust. There has to be a chemistry there in a partnership when you find an editor. And if you don't have good chemistry with that person, then you don't even want to trust your book with them. So a good editor will supply you with a sample edit. You could send them a chapter and say, I would like, you know, before I enter into this relationship with you, if you would do a sample edit on a chapter. And a good editor would be more than happy to do that for you.
You know, I think if you ever think about writing, if you ever think about getting your voice out there in any shape or form, the first thing to do is to go and secure your name for a website, don't you think? I think that like the number one thing. Secure your name where you can, because so many times that can just be lifted, or someone could have a similar name or whatever. And once you're able to start there, then you're able, as you said, to be able to start creating your platform going forward.
Oh, absolutely. The first thing you want to do as an author, or, you know, if you're going to create any product, is secure your name as the domain. And then even if you're not real well-versed in web design, or you don't think you're that tech savvy, you can just put a form, you know, a simple form on your one-page website to start collecting email addresses. So when people, because people do Google you nowadays. I have people tell me all the time that they've Googled me, and it's just like, wow, there's somebody that's actually out there Googling me. But that's just what happens when you think about working with somebody or taking somebody's class or, you know, hiring somebody. Mm-hmm. You Google them. And so you want, when somebody puts your name into the internet, to pull up your website. That is a representation of you and your brand. And that's your opportunity to really shine and show what you want to be shown. So absolutely, I think that's a nice step for anyone who wants to write a book or start building their platform. Start with the website. Grab your domain. Your name is the domain. And sometimes you have to get creative, because sometimes if you have a common name, the domain will be gone. You might have to add your middle name or an initial, but grab your domain and, you know, just create a one-page website. And if you'd like, you can add, you know, the about page where you put your author bio, and then a contact page. But that's real simple to do. And then when somebody looks for you on the internet, they see what you want them to see.
You know, a lot of times, too, people will say, as you've just mentioned, is about not being computer savvy and how they're going to be able to do things. So it is pretty tough for a lot of people to say, it's a little bit overwhelming, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, even though there's programs like Weebly and Wix where you can make a website pretty easily, that's not easy for everyone. So in that case, I would say, find somebody that you trust or that you know, because nowadays most people know somebody that can build a website. Find somebody that you trust or that you know that you can hire to just put, you know, your author website together for you or your business website together for you, because it doesn't have to be very expensive to begin. It should just, you know, have a nice home page, a place to gather email addresses so you can start building your list. About the author page or about you page, a contact page, and that's relatively inexpensive to get started.
And I think sometimes we get too caught up in the website. I know over the decades, I've had a website probably since the late 90s, I guess when internet started. Mm-hmm. And what I've noticed is that, you know, everybody was in the beginning, get your web page up. And then in the early 2000s, it was the more information, the better. People's websites became very text and, you know, heavy. A lot of pages, a lot of posts, a lot of information. And then then the transition went to ads on the side of the page and affiliates and all kinds of icons and link here, link there. And people's pages got so jumbled up. I can say now at this year, I've gone in and I've looked at some people that I know and I say, I can't even find anything out on your page. When I come to your page first, and there's so much stuff there, I'm out of there, you know?
Yeah.
And really, it's about toning it down now. And as I said just a little bit ago, I have like four websites because each one is so toned down and so specific. And it's totally eliminated all of that extra verbiage that you just get so cluttered up with, you know, somebody be selling something and giving something away and join this and join that. And it's so much stuff on their page that it's overwhelming.
And it's funny because I wrote about that in my book too. I said, you know, it used to be that you wanted to have affiliate links to all these other products and Google AdSense on your website. And then you get paid per click when somebody would click on the ad. But nowadays, if you think about it, why would you want to send your target audience elsewhere? Why do you want to have ads on your site where they click and they go somewhere else? Create your own products and feature those on your website. Don't send your audience who came looking for you somewhere else. So, yeah, I've also done that. I've scaled mine down as well. I've cleaned it up. I've taken off those ads and the affiliate links and things like that. And don't get me wrong, if there's somebody that I respect and admire who has a quality product that I feel comfortable endorsing, I will add that to my website. But the days of having affiliate products and Google AdSense all over the website, you don't need that anymore.
Right. And I think the best thing to do, I've done all of my own websites, is you put a tab up on the top that says resources.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Stick them all on that page. They don't need to all be so jumbled up that people are getting overwhelmed. If you're looking for a resource, there's one. Other than that, you know, you're done with that. Let's talk for a little bit about social media. Oh, sometimes it's the greatest thing. Sometimes it's the bane of my existence. You know, people go on there and they feel the urge to spew, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and then someone just kind of like picks up that rolling rock and just takes it to Never Never Land. Don't you think people have really taken it and to many other levels we never thought possible, right?
Yes, it was, with the wake of everything that happened in Orlando and the politics this year, I told my husband last night, I said, if I didn't need social media for my business, I would just shut it down, because it's turned into, sometimes it's just a place where it's just very depressing to go on there and read.
Right.
Everybody wants to add their opinions and their spread their negativity. So what I've had to do is unfollow certain people and just try to make sure that my message stays positive and pure and not get sucked in. It's very easy to get sucked into those comments and those discussions. So I tell authors, it's very important that you don't get sucked into those things, because your opinion and your views on certain things are going to turn off other people that may have been your readers or your clients. So, it's really, especially if you're on social media for business, it's a really touchy place where you want to be on there to grow your business, but you really have to be careful of what you engage in and interact in.
And I think a lot of times people do not understand when they make a comment on anything, that stays on the internet forever.
Yeah.
You know, you may make a comment and someone else may tag you, someone else may copy and paste you and reproduce it somewhere else. They may take your information and your comment and they will put it on their page, or they will co-link it, or they will hyperlink it, and it'll end up somewhere else. Really, nothing is copyrighted these days. I mean, we like to think it is, and I think that's an illusion in our head that we think, but you could never, I even know with my radio show, I had said to many of the guests, you know, that the radio shows are my copyright information and they're my shows. But people would take the links and they would put them in these strange places. And it was like, this isn't, you know, gosh, where is this stuff going? So you can't monitor the internet for every word that you've ever spoken and hope that you can keep a full rein on all of your information. So you really need to watch how it's coming out of your mouth in the first place, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. We have to be very mindful of that. Just, you know, take Facebook, for example. You can search somebody's name on Facebook. It just doesn't only pull up their profile. You can search every comment they've made.
Yes.
And I don't know that people really realize that. And then also, when you leave, you know, one comment on one of those posts, well, everybody in your newsfeed sees that. So, and I don't know that everybody realizes how, you know,
Nothing
how
works.
Wide that spread is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I really don't think that
mindful.
They do notice that, because, you know, I'll get some comments sometimes. People will say, why is everybody putting a pound this in their Facebook post? Or why is everybody, am I seeing pages that other people are liking? They don't understand that cohesive web that's been really put out there. You know, I have really switched more over to Twitter, because Facebook was just getting too, it takes too long to scroll through all of this stuff because the posts are longer. There's too much information. There's stuff there that I don't want. And with Twitter, it's sort of like I read the first 5 to 6 words. If it's something I want to read further, then I can. But I guess I've really shortened my span of what I'm going to look at or read. And I think so many people are starting to do that, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. I agree. I feel myself pulling away from it more and more. I used to be active, you know, when I was growing my social or my Spiritual Writers Network page. I grew up to 14,000 followers, but I used to be on, I used to have to post like every 3 hours. I don't have that kind of energy anymore to put into social media. I find it to be distracting, and although I find it very important when you're an author or you're building your business to have a social media presence, now I know there's things that you can do, such as you can schedule your posts. So I can go in one day and schedule my posts for the entire week. That way I don't have to be on social media all day. Or you can use an app like Hootsuite. Hootsuite will send your social media posts out across all platforms on your behalf. So there's ways now that I've learned I don't have to be connected to social media all day long. And I've found that I'm way more productive because of it.
Yeah, I myself use Buffer, and I found that it was really great because I could put all the 10 places that I needed things to go to, write one post, schedule it, and it's finished, and I don't have to do anything else, and it just takes me less than 2 minutes. And then I get the statistics on Buffer that says on all of those 10 places that I sent it to, was it liked, commented, whatever it could be, and you see that information right there in the statistics. So it was really great to use that too. And also your RSS feeds are just attached to it. So you didn't have to go and drag links and all this other stuff. And it can be very daunting, I think, when people who are not computer savvy or who has not really experienced what you and I are talking about, like for the past few years, and all of a sudden thrown into, I have to do that, and I don't really understand it. So I think it is a daunting task to undertake, don't you think?
It is daunting, but it is also important because we used to have to, like, for example, when we publish a book, we used to have to travel around, do speaking engagements and book signings, and now you can do virtual book tours. You can do these things online. You have the opportunity to reach far more people much faster if you do utilize social media and the internet. So even though, you know, it is daunting, I do encourage aspiring authors to at least, you know, engage a little bit and try and put yourself out there, because it will connect you to your target audience much faster.
And we always used to use business cards when we saw someone in person, you know. But really, social media is about the virtual business card, because so many times all they need to know is your name, as we've said before, and they just can find you on Facebook, on Twitter, or, you know, wherever else they need to find you. A lot of times people will say to me, do you have a card? I said, no, just Google my name. I don't even bother with the business cards anymore, because it was just incredible to put different things on there. And people said, oh, okay. And then you notice at an event the business cards are left there, but they remember your name. So it's really, Google's really doing us a favor because they remember our name, you know.
Exactly. And that's why it's important, too, to have yourself branded across all platforms. If you're growing your business or you're writing a book or, you know, anything like that, you want to develop a brand and then stay consistent. So you wouldn't want, you know, your Twitter header to be so far off from your Facebook header. You want to kind of keep it recognizable so that no matter if somebody went to your website or they found you on social media, it's recognizable to them, and it kind of follows that brand or that theme.
Let's speak for a little bit about how to expand your market going forward. When we talk about how to develop products, or people will put out blog posts, or people will say, I'll write some short stories. And then we look at, as you say, doing some events. There are a lot of things that when you put your book in the middle, you can expand that going out further to so many different venues just by remarketing or reworking or adding to the information or content from your book.
Absolutely, and that's really what the message in my latest book, Authorpreneur, is about. It's about using your book as the base of your empire to create companion products. You know, even with my first book, Right From the Heart, I took that book, I repurposed the content and expanded upon it and created my online course. And then from there, I thought, well, this would make a nice companion journal for writers. So then I created a companion journal. And then I decided, well, you know, at the time I was dealing mostly, I was finding I was attracting mostly spiritual writers, and they were having a hard time sharing their message and getting their message out. So I was using heart-based spiritual techniques to get them to share their stories. So I decided to do an affirmation deck for writers. And then I said, well, why not have an affirmation meditational CD? And so the book, it really is the base, and then you can repurpose the content and create all these other companion products for your business. So then when you do go out, for example, this weekend I'm speaking in an event in West Palm Beach. So when I get there, I won't just have my book. I'll have my book and my companion products and my online course right. offering and my coaching and mentoring services and all those other products that go along with my business, because that a lot of times for those who want to create a business based around their book, the majority of the money that you make as an author doesn't come from your book sales alone. It comes from everything you do after the book.
Yeah, I think the days of growing rich from putting out a book is gone by. Many people are finding books for free, for 99 cents, mm-hmm. Online
yep.
or downloaded as a PDF or whatever. So people will say, well, why should I write a book and put it out there and then I'm not going to make money on it? And I spent all that time and I paid all this money out for it, and what am I going to do now? And I think that is really true. But as you've said, you can still put that out and then create your products around it, and that's where your income may be coming from, correct?
Exactly. And writing the book makes it lends you credibility. So when you want to go speak at an event, and just saying that you have a book on the topic, there alone lends you credibility. When you do go speak, because you're the author on the topic, it makes you an authority in your area of expertise. And there's just something about creating the book that opens doors to new opportunity. So when somebody comes to me and says, well, how much money can I make as an author? It's really not about the book sales. It's about everything you're going to do afterwards. Are you a coach? Do you want to, do you want to mentor and coach others through the same process that you used to heal your life? Well, having the book is going to be the thing that connects you to those people, but the business side of it will come from your coaching and mentoring program.
Yeah, I think sometimes if you use the book, maybe just to tell your personal story, and then sometimes all of your products is how you can help others. So really that's
yeah.
a branch off, and really that's a great way to actually look at it. If we have many people who are saying, I want to write a book about my health or my disease or my past or whatever I've overcome, that's a great way to be able to say that's an option going forward.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. I think many times we say to people, don't be afraid of it. But yet I think you and I should definitely address this. Fear is part of the process. Fear is definitely, if it doesn't rise up and you're just going through it smoothly, sometimes I say, well, maybe that's not the message, because fear, whatever that's inside of you that you're resisting, will make it even better,
Yeah.
Because that's where people say, I read this story and I felt something. Something
mm-hmm.
turned over in me. Sometimes we read stories and it's a feel-good thing and we're okay, and we put it down and it's like, okay, but when we get into something, we say that book made me mad, or that made me really think about something else, or, oh, I don't believe it. Here's my story. That's the best thing, because then it challenges something in someone else. In other words,
exactly.
you really want to have that fear in the words if you can.
Yeah, and writing that story and moving through that is actually a healing process. Many times authors set out to write a book and they don't realize the reason they have the passion to share their stories, because there's some deep-seated need that they need to revisit that story and work through it. And writing is very therapeutic and it's a healing process. And if you can share what you've been through and touch somebody else's life at the same time, then that's a double bonus. You're healing yourself
yeah.
and helping others as well.
I think there's been a real disservice, and I've noticed this. I'm not sure if you have or not. We haven't discussed it. But in about the past 5 years, there's been a real movement where people are saying, oh, it's, enough about your story. You know, people are saying, I don't want to hear your story. Just tell me how you're feeling. And really, the story is really what needs to come out to be able to move through it. In other words, people are getting shut down. I'm seeing this quite often because, well, people will go to the doctor and they will say, you know, I'm really hurting. And the doctor will shut them down because they only have 15 minutes. Or people will say, they'll go out an event and someone will say to them, so how are you feeling? And the person will start to talk and the other person will instantly drift off to somewhere else. And it's like, well, I'm not going to bother to talk any more than why did you even ask me? So I think there's really been a great movement inside of ourselves is that we really do want to share our stories. It is important to get that information out. But what I'm finding is that there's even a greater overwhelming part of the population in this world and society that says, I don't want to hear your story. You know?
Yeah, and that's,
so they're shutting them down.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because that's how we learn and grow. We learn through other people's stories as well. And a lot of times I'll work with authors who set out to write a memoir. And then they just decide, I'm not going to go through with this because I don't want to just talk about me and my story the whole time. And I say to them, well, you can always shift it to self-help because then you're sharing your process for how you moved through it and healed, but you're still weaving your story throughout the book because your story is important. So instead of the whole book being based on them, now they feel better about it because now they're writing a book that can help someone, but their story still weaves throughout as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important to be able to say your story. You know, people wait until end of life. I work a lot with end of life clients and they wait till then to be able to share their hopes and their dreams. And you say, well, gosh, you know, what if we could do that a little bit ahead of time? What if we will say, you know, man, my teen years really sucked. It was terrible. You know, I wished I could have done this thing differently. Or, man, I wish, you know, all of these exciting things I could have told my kids. But now at your dying time and you're saying, well, there's some things I've never told you kids. Here I go, you know. And sometimes is spewing doesn't really help anybody. So sometimes if you put it in a book or a journal or you write it down or just even putting words down or writing even just a collection of short stories is being able to help you. And it's really about helping yourself. And in turn, those that read it will be able to find some inspiration or some connection. And that's really what books are all about.
Absolutely. And not everyone that sets out to write a book sets out to share the book. Sometimes it's for a personal accomplishment or to leave something for their children. Not everyone wants that, you know, to broaden the stage and be on social media and spread their message and meet their target audience. Sometimes it's just to share their story and be heard and to leave that for their loved ones. So there's many reasons to write a book, and it just depends. You know, if the reason that you want to write a book is to create a business around it and share your message as a speaker or as a coach or a healer, that's one thing. But sometimes we just want to share a message because it's healing for us to write that story. And it's a huge accomplishment just to publish, you know, write and publish your book. So sometimes it's just for us.
And also to not be afraid of the word publish or not be afraid of the word putting it out there on a big thing or people saying, well, oh, gosh, I don't want to publish it because equating in my head, I mean, I just turned 60 this weekend, equating in my head when I publish, that means that Aunt Anna is going to go to the local Barnes & Noble and see my book on the shelf. And the answer is no. Not unless you've followed other steps. So don't panic about the word publish, don't you think?
Yes. Actually, it's very hard to get your book in brick-and-mortar bookstores anymore. So that's not even that's not really even an issue anymore. You actually have to work very hard to get that book in that bookstore. But, yeah, so you can. I have clients who come to me that just want to publish for themselves. I have clients that say, I have a book of poetry. I've been writing poetry my whole life. I'd like to create an anthology, and I don't really want it all over the place. I just want it for me. And so they'll, you know, print some copies for themselves and to hand out at Christmas time for their family. But I would say don't fear publishing, because it doesn't mean your message is going to be spread all over the world. Now, again, anytime you do publish something, you put it out there, you know that once it's out there, you can't take it back. But
Well, you know, in closing, Shonda, you know, I had met a, there was a person who was in charge of the ski mountain, and he was on Facebook, and it was in the town where I had grown up, and I had skied back in the 60s, and it was interesting, so I had liked him and followed him and friended him on my Facebook page, and it's probably about 10 years now, and he would always write randomly times throughout the year these great posts, something about the mountain or something about, you know, how spring would come up or maybe how the winter and the snow started to descend too early in the year or how maybe spring forgot us and we jumped into summer on the mountain. Well, every time he would post, I would always write a comment, that is really great. You know, you need to put this stuff together in a book. And I had done this probably for 10 years, not noticing that I've done it or whatever. Well, this past Christmas, I got this book. And it was just a spiral-bound little book. And it had pictures that were in the blog posts along with the blog posts. And I said, wow. And he put a note there. And he said, you know, my friend, you told me a long time ago I should put my things together in a book. Well, here is the book. I printed 10 of them, and you were one of them, and here's the book. And it was such an incredible thing to say, you know, where someone had just shared how they were able to get through that step. And he felt so hard times. He had a lot of darkness over those 10 years, and he really put them together. And he said, I was afraid to put it out there, but I chose the light ones. And, you know, I'm happy I did it. And it was really about sharing his message, and he felt so much better about being able to do that. So I think, you know, there's a lot of things we can take. We can take our blog posts. We can take something we've written. It could be a collection of, you know, how people write things on napkins. They could have a whole box of those, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put those down in books. And it doesn't have to be text heavy. And for people to remember, a book does not have to be 100,000 words and 250 pages. It can be as simple as 10 pages with less than 100 words. It doesn't matter. And I really think that's what you've spoken about through many of your programs that you work with others, a lot of your information you have online, and a lot of times when you speak, it's just about a collection of words. That's what a writing is. Period. And then how you define it going further is up to you, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yep, you said it perfectly.
You know, and I think, you know, Shonda, you going out further this weekend and with your event, it'll really be sharing about your new book. So you can you share a little bit with the listeners about your new book, how they can find out more information? That would be wonderful.
Sure. It's the title of the book is Authorpreneur, How to Build an Empire and Become the Authority in Your Business. And I walk you through 7 steps to really break down and write a book easily. I say easily, it's not easy to write a book, but through the 7 steps, it makes the process a little bit easier. And then we go into creating that author platform. And then I talk a bit about you know, your publishing options, because publishing has changed over the years. It's very different. It used to be you just had a traditional publishing option or self-publishing, and there's so much more now. So I go in through all your publishing options and then how to launch a book and how to reach your target audience. And what's more is creating a book that's in alignment with your passion, your purpose, because if you set out to create something because you think, oh, it'll make me money, or I saw so-and-so write about something that worked for them. No, you really have to find out what your passions are and what your purpose is and write about what's in your heart. I really believe that if you write what's in your heart, and that's how you touch your readers, and that's what makes your book a success. So you can do all the things in the book, such as creating the platform and, you know, all the tactics that I talk about to launch the book. But if it's not truly in alignment with your message, then your readers are going to feel it. So that's one of the first things that we talk about in the book, is exploring your passions and finding your purpose and what your message is, who your target audience is. So, yeah, it's an all-around through walks you through writing the book to publishing and launching the book. So if there's any aspiring authors out there who would like to read the book, it's on Amazon. You can either look up Authorpreneur, or you can look up Shanda Trofe, because Authorpreneur is hard to spell, or you can go to my website, shandatrofe.com.
Well, Shanda, it was really great to have you with us today, because many times people, as we started out this conversation, saying they really would like to document how their health or their wellness or their challenges in life have really brought them to the place where they are today, and a lot of people are really looking to put that down, and I think your book is really great about how to step into that process. So if they're looking at how can they collect all of their notes and put things together in their journals, this is a really great start to just say, this is what will occur, this is how you can expand it, and these are the challenges you may have, but here's all of the solutions. So really, your book is about solutions on how to get your words out there, and I think that's really a great, concise read, and it's very simple. It's very, what I call text light, because it's not blah, 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 and then you have to give the descriptions and all this other stuff, and you have to give tons of history. You just say, here's the thing, here's what you do, and this is how you do it, and it's really great that way, and I think it's so concise.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to keep things simple because, you know, I work with aspiring authors through my book writing course, and I know that the more you complicate things or use the fancy words, that's just, you know, that puts up the walls. You really need to keep things simple. And writing a book doesn't have to be as hard as people think. There are ways to simplify the process. So, yeah, I just try to stick to what's worked for me and what's worked for my students and my clients. And so far, many have found success, so.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Shanda. It's really been a pleasure having you with us. And maybe you can come back on again with your next book. So it'll be great to have you.
Absolutely. I would love to. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out information about Shanda Trofe, again, her book is Authorpreneur. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page. And if you'd like to collect all of your information about something that was so troubling to you and how you got through it, your book can be just 10 pages, it could be 100, or it can be just some simple pictures or words. Put them together, check out Shanda's book again, and you will find that there's so many steps there that you will say, I never thought that that's a way to get my words out. So thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness, and have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.